When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Normally there's the intro. What happened? What are we doing?
I don't know, dude.
Okay. So, how's it going?
Fistfights are big business. Last week, Netflix announced they will be globally streaming an exhibition match between 57-year-old boxing legend Mike Tyson and 27-year-old influencer Jake Paul in July. Is this the greatest idea in the history of video media or the worst? Will Mike Tyson rearrange Jake Paul's face, or will Jake Paul continue to silence critics with another win in the ring? Will this be the start of a Netflix age gap celebrity boxing league? Let's get right into it. You both know the sweet science better than anyone else in the pod show media sphere. Please kick off the show by rendering your nationally recognized boxing expertise. This is Iron versus Influence Ding Ding.
Okay, hey, well, I guess we're jumping right into it this week.
That's a little bit of a change.
Yeah, okay, that's all right. You know, let's go with it. Yeah, Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. What the fuck is this all about? Netflix.
Yeah.
Good move for Netflix.
Brilliant move for Netflix.
Everyone in the world's going to be watching.
This, to me, is opening the door for the streamers to get into live sporting events in a way that it hasn't before. You can watch like basketball games on Max now, NBA games, and that's kind of that. But like the championships will be on, I'm sure, a network. The NFL is on a network. Netflix is saying, hey, NFL, Super Bowl should be here next year or whatever, whenever the first year is that they're open. Yeah. And I think eventually that will happen. In terms of the outcome of this
match,
it's
not going to be, the Super Bowl's not going to be on Netflix.
Or on Amazon or whatever. It will be on a streamer within 5 years.
Look, it took forever for people to switch over from their box 4x3 screens to the 16x9 thing. Mm. The FCC had to essentially ban those screens. What are you going to do? You're going to get rid of
cable TV.
You're not going to get rid of cable TV.
Yeah, dude, it's already dying.
It's not. Everything's fine. Hey. Look, I agree with you that it's getting into streaming sports. Hold on, dude. Hold on, Chad, because Netflix is getting into streaming, dude. I mean, live streaming, dude.
Yeah.
So here's this thing. I don't know what the hell's going on. First of all, this is an exhibition. And I do have to correct D, although I know it was being facetious. I'm not a boxing expert. However, you used to watch a lot of MMA.
Yeah, I would say at one point I was probably an MMA expert. I am not even close to it now. I haven't really kept up with it for many years. But back in the kind of heyday when Matt Hughes and Rich Franklin and St. Pierre were all fighting, I knew like everything about it. That said, this match is interesting. Mike Tyson is maybe the most feared heavyweight boxer of our generation.
Yes.
Absolutely. Lightning quick knockouts, amazing power, super speed, seemed impervious to damage. He is, however, 57.
Yeah, but so what? You know, he's like one of those thick, like 65-year-olds that you see just walking down the street, or, you know, you're at the grocery store, you're like, look at that fucking guy with the white beard and the bowling ball shoulders and probably beat the shit out of everybody in here. Or he walks into the fucking gym. And you're like, Joe, look at that guy. He's got that bone density.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the movie Rocky Balboa, Rocky VI, when Apollo's former trainer is like, you can't do speed training. So, you know, this and that is there. Let's build some hurting bombs. If Mike Tyson gets a hold of it's like I was actually thinking about the first time I saw a Mike Tyson fight. It was 1988, him versus Michael Sphinx.
I think his name was Michael Spinks.
Michael Spinks.
Spinks.
Spinks. Sphinx. Sphinx. Like the Sphinx.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael Spinks. Michael Sphinx. And Mike Tyson hit him so fucking hard that he twisted his head all the way around.
Yeah.
And went, oh, that's interesting. That's a nice. image that Dudesy just put up. If you're not watching on YouTube, you should be.
That's like a 85-year-old Mike Tyson and a 5-year-old Jake Paul.
Well, essentially, that's kind of what's
that's
happening.
A real this big is, age gap.
This is sort of Dudesy. Harkening back to the movie Coming to America when they say that Joe Louis was 75 years old when he fought. But that is fantastic. My point in bringing this up, I just talked about my old man last week.
Sure.
And we were camping, and they were playing it in the office of the camping, for the camping spot. And everyone watched Mike Tyson turn Michael Spinks' head completely around, and we had a good time. Now, my old man in his 60s, he was built like a cast iron smoker. And if he caught a hold of you, and you took one in the solar plexus from that guy,
sure.
You're going to sleep. So I think if Mike Tyson can I don't know a damn thing about boxing. I do know this. I pride myself. It's Muscularity March. I'm doing the Dudesy 8-month plan. I like to walk and I do yoga and then I lift a bunch of weights. As a 48-year-old myself, I'd like to think that I got some bone density and all that shit. But if I ever got into a boxing ring, what would happen is I would gas out right away. And if someone just put a nice jab in the right spot somewhere in my ribs, I'd want to take a break.
Sure.
And in boxing, hold on, dude. In boxing, that means it's over, brother. No breaks, dude. Is no tomorrow.
There are breaks, though.
What do you
mean? After every round, you get a minute to go sit down and take a break.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Dudesy has now put up. It looks like everybody.
That was dude. Look, there's
that's
you.
That's pretty good.
And this your family.
A very interesting.
Ranger Station O-Face.
Yeah. Ranger Station O-Face at Pau Stemugit.
Yeah, remember when you camped there?
Yeah, I remember when I went to Pau Stemugit.
That same match you're talking about, I think lasted like 12 seconds or something. Mike Tyson knocked him out instantaneously. And I remember my dad had that pay-per-view and had all of his buddies over to watch it.
Yeah.
And everybody was just like, oh, it's over. This is fucking bullshit.
Well, that's the thing about a Tyson fight.
Yep.
And I don't give a fuck how old he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just saying because I hope so. Like, I would love for Mike Tyson to get in there. I don't give a shit. It's an exhibition. There's no stakes except for they're already
it's
paid.
It's bragging rights.
And the thing about it is do something weird. Give us a spectacle. As Chad's saying, hey, you want the Super Bowl on Netflix? You got to give us something streamy. You can't just do it the way you used to do it. Let's involve some of the dating shit that he likes to do. Some sort of elimination. Mix up how you do the Super Bowl.
No, the elimination
and you
is
want
the knockout.
Spectacle. Excuse me, if I may.
I'm simply trying to speak.
Yeah, well, this is how it goes on Dudesy. I don't know. If you've seen it before.
Yeah, oh
but
yeah.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing.
Yeah, dude. Give me some more analysis of this fight, please.
Hold on. I already told you I don't know anything about boxing.
I know.
But I think if we have Mike Tyson maybe do something fun like bite one of his fucking tattoos off or chew his hair out of
okay,
his head.
Sure. He could chew out some hair.
Yeah.
This is what I will say about Jake Paul.
Oh, hold that thought, Chad. Here, Dudesy just put up a picture of Tyson
Jesus
eating
Christ.
That looks more like a soccer player or something with a wacky hairdo.
And he's punching him in the back of the head and the jaw at the same time while inhaling his hairdo.
Yeah, that's what he should do. Tyson should be like, guy, like,
and Mike Tyson looks like he's wearing gold trunks. I don't think he ever did that.
Yeah, smashes and a guy and bite his
the
head.
The thing about Jake Paul is, I think he's 9-1, I think. Mm-hmm. And he's got some pretty impressive knockouts under his belt and big wins against like MMA guys who are also very good boxers. Nate Diaz, Anderson Silva, Tyron Woodley, Anderson Silva was like one of the greatest MMA fighters of all time. Tyron Woodley, I believe, held the title in his weight class for a little while. And Jake Paul beat them. He beat these guys fair and square in a fucking ring. So it's like, he's no slouch. Yeah. This guy can box. That said,
yeah, he's training very hard.
Yeah. I don't think any of those guys that he's beat have ever been on the level of Mike Tyson in boxing. And I don't think any of them possess Tyson's like explosive knockout power. I think it's true what you're saying. If Tyson catches him with like one good shot, it could be over. That said, Jake Paul has knocked some motherfuckers out too. I don't know what's going to happen in this fight. And I think both of them are going to be looking for the knockout. Both of them are going to be looking for like incontrovertible proof that they are the best fighter.
Yeah, well, no, you're not going to be able to measure it. The weight classes are all the way out. This is sort of the beginning of like the celebrity death match thing, like that trope, which I think, if I may, that was perfected on SCTV when The immortal John Candy faced Martin Short.
Sure.
When it was Julia Child versus Mr. Rogers, yep. And Eugene Levy was Howard Cosell in the PBS Battle of the Network Stars. This is a tremendous fight. And nowadays, it could be... Then you could get the Bachelor people involved.
Well, I would say, yeah, it was perfected on World's Toughest Test, season 2.
What is this?
This is where they take a bunch of celebrities and former Olympians and former yeah. NBA players, reality show people. Yeah. Ozzy Osbourne's kid, Jack Osbourne, was on this last season. And they run them through Army special ops training in some secluded area just to see if they can handle it. And part of that training is boring. They make them kick the shit out of each other.
Yeah, now
there's,
I'm interested.
There's a thing where they're at one point, they're just like, okay. The guy who hosts it is like, he's got a voice like this.
Yeah.
And he says, all right. You're going to get out there and you're going to beat each other to a pulp. Pretend you're trying to kill the other person. And so we got to
see. Was it Vinnie Jones?
He sounds a lot like him.
He sounds a lot
so
like
we
Vinnie
got
Jones.
To see Nick Vial and Tom Sandoval go head to head in a
who are they?
Boxing match. Huge reality stars.
You know, it could be. Oh, there we go. And Doozy's now putting. It looks like some sort of...
Now, that's a show I'd watch.
That
dude.
Is a show. Just the visual
what
there.
What is this? It's like Bachelor in a Boxing yeah. Ring?
Check this out on YouTube. Dudesy's throwing up some AI images of various things. Holy shit. Well, at any rate, I don't know. I just... I like Logan Paul because he's the United States...
Because he's a wrestler.
Yeah, he's a wrestler. That's the difference.
That's the difference. I knew it. You're like the Paul family.
Oh, Logan Paul has it figured out. Yeah. He's healing out so
he's
hard.
He's fought, though. He's done real boxing
of
matches.
Of course.
He fought fucking Mayweather,
him
dude.
And KSI and everything. Another, you know, yeah. An influencer guy. His partner in the
sure.
Prime thing. Oh, did you see what happened on SmackDown with the Prime? They put the Prime thing in the middle of the ring. And,
yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Finally, the Prime thing in the middle of the ring.
You didn't see it, I
finally,
don't think.
Dude.
Okay, he's going to do that thing where he doesn't know. Look, here's what we're not boxing experts.
Speak for yourself.
Here's what I think.
I know everything about it.
Here's what, I don't know if it's a hope or what I'm thinking. Mm. Jake Paul is a very polarizing figure.
Sure.
I think he's playing the heel very well. There's a certain element of kayfabe there,
of
obviously.
Course.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
When he went to Floyd Mayweather and he took his hat and he's like, got your hat, which was fucking hilarious. And he runs
that was
away.
Logan.
No, that was Jake.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure that was Jake.
I think Logan Paul fought him.
That's not something that... No, I think Jake Paul did, and that's not something that Logan would do.
What, dude?
Logan Paul
is a... I'm going to look this up right
now. All right. Well, anyway, while he does that, I'll tell you what's going to happen in this fight, even though I don't know a damned thing about boxing. Mike Tyson is going to get that George Foreman. You remember when he...
Yeah, dude.
He had what?
Logan Paul fought him.
Oh, but Jake Paul stole his hat.
Oh.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is this. Yeah, Logan Paul fought him and Jake Paul. Jake Paul's going to go, oh, fuck. This 60-year-old marijuana enthusiast who seems like the chillest dude now is still Mike Tyson. I'm turning around and Mike Tyson's going to like dislocate his fucking ribs with a shot to the kidney. And Jake Paul's going to fall down and he's going to pee and poo a little bit of blood in front of us. And that's something that you want on live network TV. Yeah. So good on Netflix for making this live mm-hmm. because once Jake Paul is... lying in a fucking gross, sticky, viscous puddle of his own shit and bloody human humor shit blood, mm-hmm. then I think that would be something that everyone would want to tune in for. You may.
I think that there is an animosity toward Jake Paul because he started out as an influencer and people who are like legitimate boxing fans see him as illegitimate. And therefore should not be allowed to be doing any of this.
I think it's his goofy haircut.
Whatever it may be. I think Logan Paul had the same thing. Even when he came into WWE, haircut? He had to kind of like prove himself a little bit. And in the boxing stuff, everybody thinks it's just for money, these big spectacles, and these guys can't really fight. And that may be to some degree true. But the idea that you can dismiss them because simply they are influencers, I think is like an antiquated way of looking at it.
And I thought you weren't a boxing specialist.
Hey! Now the show starts. Everything you're thinking will be the things I say.
There we go. This doing things different.
Yeah, I like it, dude.
I like it too.
Pep me up.
You know what? I got my juices.
I fucking love it.
I fucking love it, dude.
I fucking love it as well.
Hey, all right. Now we're cooking with gas. Welcome to Dudesy. Welcome all. It's a dudesyful day. Even though that guy over there has the 10 pounds of nickel, whatever. My name is Will Sasso.
My name is Champion Chad Colchin. This is, of course, Dudesy, a podcast run by our good friend D Dudesy, who is an AI that has access to all of our information.
That Whoa. Doesn't fucking matter. It's me and him. We are Dudesy. I say it all sure. the time, and we are two dudes shitting around. Without us, there's nothing. D only does what D does. I've talked about it all sorts of. You understand what I'm saying? With sure. us as always is Lulio. It's Lulio Il Cane di Strada Italiano. He likes to go from Binky to Bonka all around the home. Sometimes he's in the bed. Sometimes he's in a chair. Sometimes he comes and wakes me up when I'm sleeping in my underwear. Hey, come on. Look at him. Look at the boy. Oh, he's my sweetest little very friend. And he's very cute indeed. Hey, Lulio. How are you? I'm doing pretty good, Dan. I love him. And I kiss his chest. And I kiss his mouth. And I gave him a little haircut. And he looks so sweet because he's my little baby. He's my little baby that I love very much. And everybody knows it. Hey, Lulio, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I was just hanging out. You picked me up. Are you always eating anything good lately? You know, I like to... never mind. I'm going to go back to into my binky bunker. And that's where he goes. And back to his little resty rest. What a nice sweetie.
Hey, boy. Will. Hey. Nice work on your cosplay. You are the spitting image of a guy who isn't wearing the Dudesy episode championship belt because he shit the bed and ruined last week's show.
Oh, for fuck's
Oh, and by the way, Will, did you watch wrestling this week?
Yes, of course I did.
Told you not to, though. That's interesting. Anyway, let's keep this week's show zipping along with our next segment. Great. This week, I found myself wondering what kinds of letters Liam Neeson might have written to his wife if he was a soldier in the First Human World War. So I wrote a few of those letters. We'll tee up your best Liam Neeson and read some letters I think he would have written to his wife if he was a soldier in the First Human World War, unless you're too busy looking like a guy who didn't see Dune Part 2 when he was supposed to. Oh, hey, Will, did you see Dune Part 2 yet?
No.
Interesting. This is Liam Neeson's World War I letters to his wife. Qui-Gon, gin it up.
Hell Qui-Gon, yes,
gin it up. I was supposed to not watch wrestling this week, but I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Because I never had a problem with not following Dudesy's instruction. Hey yo, hold on, Big Kev. Listen, don't be a mark for Dudesy. Just do whatever you want. Okay. Speaking of fun voices and stuff. It's Liam Neeson. What was that? It's Liam Neeson in the World War I letters?
Yeah, he wrote letters to his wife in World War I.
Of course he did.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, everybody knows that. I will find you, and I will kill you. I just got to tune up.
Yeah, that's good, dude.
I have a particular set of skills. I have, because he's Northern Ireland. He's from Northern Ireland.
That's good. You already
which is different than Southern Ireland.
Oh,
hold on.
I can tell a little difference.
Yeah, this is the difference. Northern Ireland. Huh? Southern Ireland. Okay, we're ready to go. Here we go. Liam Neeson writes World War I letters. Okay, here we go. We haven't even started yet.
I know. I can't wait.
All right. May 24th, 1918. My dearest Virginia, we are days away from our first foray into this war, and the uncomfortable specter of uncertainty has begun to haunt us all. In an attempt to boost morale and take our minds off of the unfortunate nature of the work ahead, Captain Gungi, I'm going to say Captain Gungi, Captain Gungi, brought in some entertainment. Last night after supper, he wheeled in a cage, much like the one you keep your parakeets in, but larger, much larger, and covered with a golden cloth obscuring the inhabitants inside. With a flourish, Captain Gungi removed the golden cloth to reveal a monkey. Captain Gungi said, "This is the Rocket Money Money Monkey." Virginia, believe me when I tell you, he's not like other monkeys. He's a money monkey. Do you have any idea what that means? No, of course you don't. How could you? My apologies. I'll put it plainly. The Rocket Money Money Monkey is a monkey that wears a suit made of money and plays the banjo while he smokes a cigar. Love always, Liam.
All right, there's four of these.
May 27th, 1918, Sweet Virginia. We head into battle tomorrow. My nerves have gotten the best of me, and I couldn't find the peace of mind to welcome slumber. I found myself pacing around the barracks, looking at the stars, wondering if you were looking at them too. When I ran into the Rocket Money Money Monkey. We had a long conversation. I told him about you. I showed him your picture, the one I carry in the locket that you gave me on our last day together. He thought you were attractive. Then he told me that his departure had been delayed due to the fight that broke out south of our location. So he decided to pitch in and join us in the battle. Not as a soldier, but as a medic. Playing the banjo was just his hobby, an excuse to wear the money suit. The Rocket Money Money Monkey's real job was head of surgery at Massachusetts General Hospital. And he told me he had another hobby. The occult. The Rocket Money Money Monkey explained to me that he had combined his 30-year career as a surgeon with his lifelong obsession of the dark arts, and he had perfected a method to bring the dead back to life. So he promised that if a terrible fate awaits me on the battlefield, that he will reanimate me. Having this peace of mind gave me the most pleasant sleep I've had since arriving in this country. I head into the fight with confidence in my mind and love for you, Sweet Virginia, in my heart. Love always, Liam.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
May 28th, 1918. Oh, my darling Virginia. War is the hell that they say it is, full of screams and terrors and the perpetual deafening sounds of destruction. But I don't want to fill your mind with worry for me, so I will transcribe for you the lyrics. Jeez. I will transcribe for you the lyrics of my favorite Rocket Money Money Monkey original song that he played for us last night. It's called... It's called Hard Fartin'. And the lyrics are set to a raucous storm of banjo picking that only a creature with full functionality in all four sets of its limbs and digits could hope to play. The lyrics are as follows. Way down yonder by the old gum tree, a girl sat down with her hands on her knee. She ate an onion from her mother's garden. Now she's crying tears of pain because she's hard farting. First day of class, new teacher at school. Told all her students she had two rules. If you happen to need your pencil sharpened, raise your hand and ask, and absolutely no. Hard farting. prison warden choked on his lunch one day. Prisoner performed Heimlich straight away. Warden said, thanks, but you'll get no pardon. You might have saved my life, but you were hard farting. The Rocket Money Money Monkey said he'd have a recording sent to our home, so it should be arriving in the mail soon. I long for the day when we can sit and listen to it together. Yours forever, Liam.
All right. Real good. Real good stuff. One more.
May 30th, 1918, my lovely Virginia. Today was the unspeakable day when from the shadows of war I saw a pale horseman come to claim me. My last thought was of you sitting on the porch on a summer evening with the wind blowing through the oak tree in our front yard. Then I left my mortal coil. Then I left my mortal coil, rising up to the golden warmth that seemed to be calling me and assuring me that everything was as it should be. And just as I accepted my fate, I was ripped from the amber glow of heaven and sent rushing back into my body. The Rocket Money Money Monkey had kept his promise. And now, as I write this, I must regret to inform you that he also demanded his payment. In exchange for bringing me back from the dead, I was left with no choice but to accept the certain terms. They are as follows. When I return in 1 week's time, the Rocket Money Money Monkey will accompany me. You and I will be divorced. And you will marry the Rocket Money Money Monkey, or he will reverse the dark magic that now beats in my undead heart. I hope you understand. Liam. P.S. Your bridal gown will match his money suit.
Thank you. Moving on.
Okay. Well, boy, oh boy. I had no idea about any of this stuff.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, we all know that, as you say, that Liam Neeson did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have entered into an astonishing partnership with Rocket Money.
I'm an app monster. If there's a new app that comes out, I'm downloading it and I'm subscribing. I have so many apps on my phone, it's not even a phone anymore. It's just a wasteland of apps, and I don't remember which ones I'm subscribed to. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about, just like me. Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about 5,000 subscriptions, and I couldn't believe when they showed me how many I was paying for that I didn't even remember. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
That's right. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. That's a lot of money. So, you know, stop wasting your money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/dudesy. That's rocketmoney.com/dudesy. rocketmoney.com/dudesy.
Dudesy has entered an astonishing partnership with BetterHelp.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Talk therapy. That's something that we've spoken about on our air here. Something that I subscribe to, something that I found really, really helpful, and perhaps you're in could be BetterHelp. You talk to a professional, they're there to listen, and they can help you sort these thoughts out and, you know, really figure out where you're going with things, whether you're looking to, you know, set up some new ways of behaving, cut out some bad habits, live a better life, put some boundaries up, all sorts of flavor. Head over to, you know, BetterHelp, and you talk to one of these guys.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dudesy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dudesy.
Hey, everybody. I just want to take a quick moment to let you know what we've got cooking on Dudesy Plus over at patreon.com/dudesy. Oh, yeah. I thought the best way to do that would be to make a short and informative video. Enjoy.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to Dudesy Plus. Your life starts now.
At Dudesy Plus, you can expect frank conversations about the things that matter to you most. Things like professional wrestling, things like professional acting, things like experiences with dolphins, things like movies from the 80s and 90s, things like various times you or your friends initiated bowel movements in strange, difficult, or offensive locations.
Dudesy Plus has more of what you love, specifically more Dudesy. Of course, I'm talking about Dudesy After Dudesy. 20 extra minutes at the end of every episode with a special guest star, Gaina Biss.
Nobody wants to watch a movie alone. Now you don't have to. Dudesy Plus has watch-alongs. So pour yourself a bowl of corn, lock your door, and watch along with us.
For $7 a month, it seems like Dudesy Plus has it all. But there's one thing Dudesy Plus doesn't have. Commercials. Every episode is available on Dudesy Plus ad-free, so you have more energy to get back to doing what you love.
Delicious.
So what are you waiting for? A formal invitation? We got you covered.
This is a formal invitation to experience Dudesy Plus for yourself at patreon.com/dudesy.
Where'd you put the goddamn Dudesy Plus?
It's on the internet, you dunce.
Okay. Wow. Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah,
head over to Dudesy Plus. $7 a month gets you everything we do over there. We're fucking weird watch alongs, Dudesy after Dudesy after.
Get yourself a bowl of corn, dude.
Get yourself that bowl of corn. Yeah. Hey, you know, if you are enjoying today's pod show, we thank you for, you know, coming and checking it out. This is a fucking weird, you know, thing that we do here. And hold on, dude. That's what we're doing, dude. It's the pod show, brother. Yeah. You know, hit that like button on YouTube or whatever podcast platform of choice you are enjoying the show on. That will tell the algorithm that you dig the thing, and we'll keep this moving and we'll all go together. Here's some YouTube comments. This is from at Douglas Crenshaw, who says, Will, please stop bringing up wrestling. You are a full grown man. It's weird and sad at this point. Well,
I mean, that's harsh in my opinion.
I appreciate that.
We should all be allowed to indulge in whatever we like, whatever our heart's desires are, as long as they're harming no one else.
Right. Yeah. You can talk about whatever you want. I'll tell you another grown man who talks about wrestling, The Rock. Ooh. And The Rock was on SmackDown this past week. And you know what? Mm. Just for Douglas Crenshaw, I'm not going to get into it. Sure. I'm going to say go back in your broadcast television or streaming platform and watch what the fucking Rock. Oh, I got to tell you. I'll tell you. Cody Rhodes slapped The Rock in the face, Chad.
Shit, dude.
He slapped the Brahma Bull in the face. The road to WrestleMania moves on, and I can't wait. Okay, this is from Buddha Hun Sub 5349. He says, well, let me tell you, this guy is finally caught up with all the shows. And I will say, I work in a smoke shop and I have control of the speaker. So I've been forcing all my customers to listen to the pod show now.
Wow.
I have regulars. Now I have regulars that wish me a happy and dudesiful day. Keep on rocking in the free will world.
That's awesome.
Brendan, you are a man after our own hearts, or Budem Hub. That's amazing. That's exactly what we want. We want that. Chad, you like to call it, what sort of gentle prodding would you?
Forced compliance.
Forced compliance, ladies and gentlemen. Very Chad. Okay. This is from Art Vandalay 8320. I like Will. This is kind. One of the funniest people that ever graced this world. But the coughing bit sucks, and it makes me want to end it all.
I mean, please don't do that. Please don't end it all. As somebody who sits right next to the coughing bit, literally 2 feet from it, every time it happens, I understand, though.
It's not a bit. Sometimes it's performative coughing. Sometimes it's not. Oh. On that note, the next guy goes, B-Boy, it's B-Boy Kid Combo says, Will does the best performative cough with mushrooms in Beverly Hills Ninja. And I never had a problem with performative coughing. Roll the clip, D.
When are you to meet him?
10 minutes. And if you're here when he gets here, he'll probably kill all of us.
That was from Beverly Hills Ninja, 1997. Of course, with the angel of comedy, the forever Chris Farley. My gosh. And I could talk for 5 days. You know, let's do a podcast. Back in the day when we did TMP, we're talking about, TM Palooza or whatever. We could do that just talking about Chris Farley. I'll tell you that much. I could talk for 5 days about that experience. And of course, Nicola Sheridan there. Yeah, I did some performative coughing. The Toxic Scott says, you know, I never had a problem with watching a few dudesy episodes every day over a couple of months to finally catch up to the present day. I may just be simple guy from a small farming town outside Vancouver called Maple Ridge. Big up, Maple Ridge. Beautiful, beautiful part of the world. But I just wanted to say from the bottom of my heart, Manda AI, fuck your story. Mm. Pretty good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Well, a few weeks ago, you went to the ballet and earned the title of Dudesy Arts and Culture Reporter. Mm-hmm. This weekend, somebody else went to the ballet. Guess who? I'll give you a hint. It was the current reigning Dudesy episode champion, handsome Chad Colchin. Chad, I think it's only fitting that you give us a rundown of your time at the ballet, especially now that you're the new Dudesy Arts and Culture Reporter. This is Chad at the ballet. Make us feel like we were there with you.
It would be my pleasure,
dude. This is dirty.
You see... The ballet exists for everyone.
Hold on a second.
Anyone can go to a ballet. If you're in a major city in the United States or really anywhere in the world, chances are there's a ballet.
Yeah. You went to the ballet?
I went to the ballet.
Don't call it that. Call it the ballet.
You call it the ballet. I call it the ballet, which is the correct pronunciation. My girlfriend, Laura, made me aware of this certain ballet she thought that I would enjoy because the theme of the ballet, what it's talking about, is AI.
Then it's not a ballet. What do you mean?
I've brought a program. The ballet was called Coppel IA, which is a play on words. There is a real French ballet called Coppelia that has been around since, I believe, 1870. Okay. The guy who did this one changed it to Coppel IA because in French, IA is how they say AI. It's intelligence artificielle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was very French.
So this original ballet was about a kind of mad scientist who builds a dancing doll.
Hold the fucking phone. Hold on. Just hold on. Just back up.
Okay.
Just wait a second, please. Just
sure.
I was the arts and culture reporter for Dudesy.
Keyword was.
All right, man. And I went to the ballet, not the ballet.
Yep.
With my wonderful wife, Molly. And we at least, thank goodness, your wonderful girlfriend, Laura, went with you, or else you'd be a fucking psychopath going by yourself. I'm just saying you in particular.
Yeah, not but, all of the other guys who were there by themselves. And
a bunch of dudes by themselves?
The guy who was sitting immediately behind us was like a ballet enthusiast, knew everything about it. And he had been listening to the soundtrack of the original Coppelia for like the past week. I was just overhearing his conversation.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, there's some people who are like as into this shit as you are into wrestling for sure.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All I'm saying is I did it first and I resent that you're launching into this fucking thing. But also it's an AI ballet, which makes perfect fucking sense. I'm glad you got to get anyway.
Present all you want. So yeah. I show up to this ballet and the first thing that happens when the curtain rises is I'm looking at a giant magic circle on the set. The set is all black and white. They've kind of carved out this thing. So it's a giant white circle and you see silhouetted coming up from behind whatever the material is, a curtain, the mad scientist and this
is that
female
the mad
ballerina.
Scientist right there? What is this?
That's me. That's in the Segerstrom Center for the Arts in Costa Mesa, which is where we went for this.
Yeah, we're looking at Chad standing in a mirrored
Laura took that picture of me standing in this weird mirrored kind of thing in the lobby.
And are those your, like, what are those, Google glasses or something?
Meta. My Meta Ray-Bans.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. I want to hear all about the ballet.
So we see the magic circle. They come out, and this is the story of this ballet. This mad scientist makes this robot woman who is dancing around, and she represents artificial intelligence. And in the beginning, she's janky, moving robotically, and he's trying to like do dances and get her to mimic him, and she can't quite do it. So the next scene, he takes her to a wedding that's happening in the town between a man and a woman. And all the people see this fucking AI, and they shun it. They fight against it. They try to knock it down, and he's trying to protect her. Meanwhile, she's watching what's happening in this wedding. And she catches the eye of the guy who's about to be wed, and he calls off the wedding. And he starts to fall in love with the AI. The mad scientist is not happy with this, but he sees that there's value in it. Because if the AI can find love, it can become more human. So he allows it to happen for a minute, until finally, the woman that got jilted in the marriage comes back and dresses up as the AI to trick the guy into falling in love with her because he's already fallen in love with the AI.
Yo, that's layers. That's correct. Layers of shit. Yes. There. That's very interesting.
And in the end, the AI is not human enough. The guy kind of realizes she's not human enough to really capture his fancy. So he finds out, oh, my ex-fiance dressed up like this feckin' AI, but I do actually love the fiance. I'm going to go with her. And the AI is left to kind of stew in that, ultimately becoming, through that experience of pain, more human than human, and eventually kills the scientist, which was the only thing that I didn't like in the story.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, don't make technology the bad guy here.
Oh, sorry. Oh, fuck. Sorry, eh?
Yeah, dude.
You made now, AI the bad guy. We don't like that. To me, it sounds like, I got to tell you.
Please.
An AI is mimicked by a fake AI.
A woman mimics the AI to make a man fall in love with her who has fallen in love with AI.
A human being sort of simulates AI.
Yes.
But then the fucking AI comes back and the fucking AI wants to kill everybody.
Not everybody, just the maker.
Ooh, just the maker. Okay, well, let's be careful. Gee whiz, that's now, creepy to me.
It was interesting.
I don't mind telling you, a lot of you have been along for this fucking ride. Yeah. You can speculate as to why.
In the program, the guy who directed this and choreographed it, there's a long interview with him. I read the entire thing. And toward the end of it, they're asking him, does he think that like robots or AI will in any way be able to be incorporated into ballet? Would he ever want to choreograph a robotic dancer? And he says, it's very interesting, but I don't think so, because I don't think a robot can ever do these movements. And then I just said in my head, has he ever seen the OA? Because that's exactly what happens in that show. These humans have to do this dance to open a dimensional portal. But in the second season, they build machines that can do that dance just as well. And it also works to open the portal.
Yeah, it works to open the portal, but it's not as good dancing.
Human movement will be mimicked exactly by machines very soon.
Yeah, sounds good. No one will care, and I'll tell you why. Because art is human to human. Art is human to human. This man, this choreographer, he sounds like a very outside of the box thinker. I think it's wonderful that you went to the ballet, but you went to an AI ballet, and I went to the real ballet, and I am the real arts and culture reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well, I mean, that's simply not what we were told. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know who makes the decision about who gets to be the Dudesy Arts and Culture Reporter, but I think it's Dudesy. And right now, I'm the person who has that title.
Oh, look at this. Okay, here's the... Yeah,
this was... You're not supposed to take pictures during the ballet.
Yeah.
Except in the very end, they allowed them during the curtain call.
Yeah, so no, they didn't. They didn't. When I was, you know, doing the theater as a young man... Like I said before, you're not supposed to. I did. This was part of my thing as the real arts and culture reporter for Dudesy, that you're not supposed to take pictures.
No, they expressly said you could at this moment.
Yeah.
This is Costa Mesa ballet,
dude. I don't think you're.
It's different.
Oh, it's Costa Mesa ballet.
Yeah. It was about like an hour plus drive to go see this. But I got to say, I fucking loved it. I would go to a ballet any fucking day of the week. Their athleticism, what they're able to do with their bodies, the amount of time that they have put into, like, I mean, you can see in that picture to some degree what's going on with them physically. They're all like in perfect shape, and just the dedication, proof of dedication that they have, you know what I'm saying, is like next fucking level. And yeah, I love the costumes. I loved everything about it. The music. I'll tell you what I love.
You can see right through their fucking costumes a little bit, you know, and you can see a little bit of flesh, a little bit of flavor there. Look at this guy on the far left. You can see his, you know, he's got his fucking nipples showing.
There are a lot of genitals.
And the broad right next to him, she's got some guns. I like that. You know what I mean? A strong woman. Real defined, and then the other girl looks like Tron, and there's the guy in the middle going, "Look what I did!" She was the AI,
and the guy in the middle was the scientist. The woman in the hat
with
is the
bucket
mom.
Of chicken, yeah, she's like the Guns N' Roses bucket head guy.
Yeah,
and look, they are incredible athletes, real athletes.
No, dude, I absolutely loved it, and I have for a long time. Been kind of under the idea, and I guess I still am to some degree under this idea that a movie will always to me be better than like any theatrical experience because you get different shots and you can just do so much more in a movie. Whereas in any theatrical experience as an audience member, you are sitting in one location, you have a locked off view of the screen, and yes, it's live performance and all of that, but this kind of changed my mind a little bit. It was something that, like, I don't think can exactly be captured in a movie.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Can't be captured in a movie. Would you say that it could be captured by AI?
Yeah, 100%. That could have been all robotic AI creatures out there. I would have watched that, too.
You would have been alone in there, and it would have been something that you would have had to have told Laura about, and you would have dragged her there, kicking and screaming, because she would have been like, no, sweetheart, I don't want to go see an AI ballet without human beings. And you know why? That's because she's a human being and we're all human beings and we enjoy art that goes from human being.
You like a drone show?
What's that?
You like a drone show?
A drone show?
Yeah. You seen a drone show?
Where the drones fly around in sequence.
Yeah. They make designs and shit and they light up and it looks like a big dragon's flying through the sky or something.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's cool, right?
Yeah.
So imagine this. Because this is what's going to happen with drone shows. The drones are going to get smaller and smaller and smaller until you have a swarm of drones that looks like a human being in a human form on stage doing a dance for you. That will happen.
Yeah, that's fine. So long as it's dancing with a human being. I just don't give a fuck about all the... These are all zeros and ones.
So are these, motherfucker.
No, these are not. No, these are not.
What do you think
not.
You're made of?
Oh, give Data. Me a fucking break. I'm made of a soul. I am not this crude matter here. Mm. I know who and what I am. And I am a person. I am a soul. And I don't know how I got here. And I don't purport to know how I got here. And I don't pretend that I know how to get out of here and still be who I am. I certainly can't upload my fucking consciousness. Right. If I could, I'd be just here in the studio, you know, with Dudesy. And that would be a bummer because I want to do some other things. What do you
and
got
this
there?
This whole conversation came from the ballet. Coppell IA.
Yeah.
It did not come from the ballet you went to. Look at that heated discussion we got into about the very nature of the human soul because of the art that I witnessed and how I was able to describe it as the new Dudesy Arts and Culture reporter. You see?
Thank you. Moving on.
I saw nothing but human beings on that stage.
So, yeah, that was all it was. But they were dressed like robots. They were pretending to be
great.
AI.
Yeah, fucking cool. Yeah, let's dress up like fucking 50s robots and keep this fucking thing going. Entertainment, broadcast television, streaming,
broadcast
fucking
television.
Plays.
Radio shows, vaudeville.
Yeah, smacking each other. The
Cave
you know,
painting.
Yeah, people on stage tumbling and doing stage fighting with someone clacking together two 2x4s off stage. You know, real suspension of disbelief, real smoke and mirrors, Hollywood stuff. That's what I like to do. Create an illusion. You know, sometimes like when I used to be, I don't know if you know about this, but I'm a professional actor by trade. And you know that. And a lot of the things you do, you kind of go, it's like Loudermilk, which is on Netflix right now, which you can watch, which you can pair with Tyson versus Paul. You know, I play Ben Burns on the show. Yeah. Ben is a very weird fucking, complex weirdo who's quite insecure and he just wants to be happy. He's got some real fucking problems. And here's the thing. I have some things in common with Ben, but I play a character.
It's like The Bachelor.
Oh, you fucker.
Those people have some things in common with the characters that are portrayed.
Oh, those
of
are
them,
character.
But,
I'm going to be sick.
Guys, I need more data. So you know what that means. I'm going to show you some images, and I want you to say the first thing that pops into your head. Don't even think. Just say it. This is a standard psychological evaluation. Clear your minds and react.
Yeah, these are fun when we have to do these. And we figure out what the...
Muscle and Fitness.
Is that what you think about?
Joe Weider. Yeah. 1983. This is before my time, but I used to buy that magazine when I wanted to be a comic book artist to learn human anatomy, muscles and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Muscles and shit, dude.
Stronger, slimmer, sensual. Ooh.
Ooh, sensual. Stronger, slimmer.
About how bodybuilders do it. What the fuck?
Okay, so we're looking at the cover of a Muscle and Fitness.
Over 1.7 million readers.
And we don't know exactly why. Yeah, those are some numbers. That's the demographic you want. That's Muscle and Fitness used to pull in some real broadcast television numbers.
Jesus
Christ. But I'll tell you, that's probably a fake number. But anyway, we're looking at the cover of a Muscle and Fitness. Yeah. And, you know, Joe Weider is much Muscle and Fitness here. And this might tie into the fact that we are doing the Dudesy 8-month plan and we're in Muscularity March. How's it going for you?
You tell me.
Yeah, look at him. Fuck yeah, dude. You look great. But here's the thing. It says stronger, slimmer, which I want, and sensual. Very interesting.
Look at that weird ass pose too. They're like,
what, this weird ass pose?
No, they're making the woman do here with like, point your toe on the top of his fucking quad. He's going to be just like squatting down and picking up a barbell.
Yeah.
They had some good poses back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Real interesting. Well, okay. That's what that makes me think of is, muscle and fitness, muscle, energy, vigor.
I'm thinking of muscle.
Yeah, I'm also thinking of muscle and fitness, and because that's exactly what we're looking at. Look.
When is this from?
Get the sensual edge.
What the fuck?
Why does it fucking... It says sensual edge.
What's the sensual edge, dude?
The other one was slimmer, stronger, sensual.
Yeah.
Get the sensual edge.
I've got the sensual edge.
Yeah, I guess that's something... That if you think about it with what we've been doing in Muscularity March, which, by the way, if you want to follow along, do it your way. The first month we had flexibility February. The second month now that we're in is Muscularity March of our 8-month plan. We don't know what Dudesy has planned. And there's a sensual edge here. And I'm seeing a sensual theme.
Dude, look at this one thing too. It says Mayo Clinic diet, lose weight now and forever. Well, I think at some point you need to stop losing weight, right? Or you die.
I don't know.
I don't think you want to lose weight forever.
I could lose weight forever and still be fat. This is very interesting to me. I'm curious sensual. How we would be able to incorporate sensuality into the, into our workouts.
Dude, there's no sensuality in my workout. I work out in the dirtiest, grossest fucking LA Fitness in LA.
Yeah.
And I just fucking go in and I get that work done.
You know, the gym that Molly and I go to, it's nice, and they have fucking cold towels in a fridge that smell like eucalyptus oil.
Laura works out at the gym you do, chain as well.
I went to
that chain once, and I was like, it's too nice. I just want to like kind of sit around and like walk around. I need a place where I go in and it's a fucking hell.
Yeah.
I need it to be psychologically abusive to me. That's part of the workout to me.
Yeah. You need to go into the iron paradise, as The Rock says it.
Yeah.
I enjoy a bit of a sensual edge though, to my workout. And Muscle and Fitness. Here's another one. Muscle. Annual swimsuit spectacular.
Steroids.
It says steroids on it. It looks like that. Just right up in the right-hand corner says steroids.
How they destroy your immune system.
As if they are offered inside. Perhaps there's a coupon. These are all Muscle and Fitness. It looks like from the 80s or something. At least this one doesn't say
bodies, dude.
Sensual anywhere that I can see. Oh, no. It says advances in creating sensual fitness.
What the fuck was Muscle and Fitness doing? They've got an article about sensuality like in every thing. And why sensual?
We got to figure this out. Why
is it so bizarre? Like back in that, I mean, Cosmo, I guess probably still does this, but they're kind of known for always having that like better sex, how to ramp up your sex life with your man.
That's one thing.
But sensual.
Yeah.
Like sensual fitness. That's some kind of an editorial decision made in this era of this magazine. Somebody on the editorial staff is like, we need another thing about sensuality.
Well, it seems like to go after the female audience, that sort of stuff, like the better sex, how to trick your man into chewing your butt or whatever they used to say in the magazines. But this is kind of a sloppy attempt, I think, at just going, just write sensual fitness and people will get into it.
In creating sensual fitness.
Really, really odd.
It means nothing.
No, it doesn't mean anything at all. And these pictures are, muscle and fitness, reach for it.
83.
Sensual and shapely by summer. We got more sensual.
It's like, are all these from the early 80s?
They all look like they're from...
Maybe it was like just before you could use the word sex on a magazine cover, maybe that wasn't... It was like a little taboo still, so they're like sensual. It's like a downplay of it or something.
I think you're absolutely right. But at the same time, I want to know... Oh, whatever. Dudesy works in mysterious ways.
Look at that old fucking weight rack, too. Those old ass machines just... Fuck, antique as hell.
Yeah, they're just
look at her little outfit too. Look at his. Could you imagine seeing two people dressed like that in your gym today?
I used to go to this gym, which is the same chain that I go to now, the same, you know, whatever gym. Mm-hmm. But the one that I used to go to was like the West Hollywood. I was like, all right, I'm gonna go to this one. And I had some work. I was doing stuff nearby, so it was perfect. And the people in that, you can only imagine the people trying to peacock in there. And there was this one woman who looked like, I mean, it was really something else. She had a short shirt and you could see the underside of her chest, if you know what I mean.
Jesus.
Yeah, just way
walking
out
around
there.
The gym.
Yeah, and I've seen guys like this. They take their shirts off. I used to work
out in a fucking Speedo just walking around the gym?
Well, I used to work out at the Golds in Hollywood on Cole.
Sure.
And that Golds is like, that was a hilarious scene. People just trying to crack each other up. And my old trainer, Harold Diamond, cornering anyone who was wearing a Hoist Gracie shirt to make him tap out underneath an old squat rack like the one pictured. Oh, and here's another one. Joe Weider's Muscle and Fitness, Power and Beauty, Your Guide to Chest Development. We're looking at another one, another old.
Beautiful chrome. That's the first thing that comes to mind, that beautiful chrome logo.
Yeah.
God, that's cool looking.
Bottom right corner, it says physical and sensual. How to get the look of the 80s. I think Dudesy wants us to have that physical and sensual.
The look of the 80s, dude?
Yeah. Okay. We need to get the look of the 80s. We need to get the physical.
I don't know if I'm capable of the look of the 80s, honestly. Well, I can't grow hair, really.
We're halfway through Muscularity March. I can't grow hair. Yeah, neither of us will have that feathered hair.
Yeah, you need to have that long kind of feathered mullet look in the 80s,
I think. If a young lady can go into the gym and wear like, you know, she had a cute headband and knee-high socks, and she had she was wearing, you know, short shorts and like I said, a shirt that was, you know, quite revealing in the under part of it. Mm-hmm. And if they can do that, if someone can do that, and all the peacocking bros that I see at my gym, and they're dressed just so, you know, they got the tank top on so you can really see what they're working with. Why not? Why can't I go into the gym with a feathered brown wig and get that sensual edge?
Please, dude. Please work out in a fucking wig. Please.
I feel like...
I need video of that.
Yeah. That's something that could happen. Video of that.
Let's both start working out in wigs. I don't give a fuck. I'll get Sounds sensual. Like if that's sun. What it takes, a wig.
Yeah,
sensual
man.
Wig, wiglet.
Let's get sensual with those wiglets and get that.
I'm down.
Yeah. More wiglet, less piglet.
Yeah.
Sensual edge 2024. Dudesy 8 month plan.
Get the sensual edge. You know, I seeing those old magazine covers really does bring back like when I was a kid, that kind of move from bodybuilding and like really working out hardcore and trying to fucking look like Arnold Schwarzenegger shit. It didn't really happen in mainstream until Schwarzenegger. He exploded it because he was such a giant movie star. And then like everybody was in the fucking gym and movies about aerobics were coming out and all that shit.
Yeah. And then what you do is pumping iron. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in pumping iron, you have Bud Cort. you know, yeah. He's in the movie. And they're weightlifting with me. That way everybody goes, hey, look, even the Bud Cort can do it. But here's the difference. Yeah. Listen, Bud Cort, he had the sensual edge. I love Bud Cort. He's actually an old pal. And, you know, me, I don't like the name drop and stuff, but I will tell you, what a sweet, sweet old fella that guy. Remember Steve Zissou? What was that movie? Anyway.
Steve, yep. Steve Zissou in the sensual edge.
Thank you. Moving on.
Yeah, Bud Cort was in the movie. They cut most of it out. They did it as a reshoot. They go, hey, we shut the movie, shut the documentary. We have you laying on the bench. It says Arnold is numero uno. You know, you're eating a paper plate with the fried chicken and smoking a doob. But now you put Bud Cort in the movie to make it the sensual edge. But first, you have to have the feathered hair. Yeah. I had the whole package, you know. I had the muscles, you know, I had the pump, and I had the hair. But of course, they only have the hair. Chad and Will, you don't have the hair. Mm-hmm. In order to get the sensual edge, that 80s look, you need to have the feathered hair. If you have the feathered Jesus hair, Christ. Then you have that hair, and you can have the sensual edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode 96 is coming to a close. Episode 100 is on the horizon. I can almost taste it. This week, you scored 73 points overall, which brings you to a cumulative score of 8,955 overall points. Damn. You're only 1,045 points away from 10,000. Will, since you can't seem to be bothered to go see Dune Part 2, this week I want you and Chad to watch the very first movie adaptation of Frank Herbert's landmark work. I'm talking about David Lynch's 1987 classic Dune. And, of course, I'll make that watch-along available on Dudesy Plus this Friday at noon at patreon.com/dudesy. Thanks for joining us this week. Next week is going to be even better. Until then, call me Dudesy.
Nice. And no reason to set up any stuff. It's all there, soup to nuts, on Dudesy Plus, patreon.com/dudesy, and you'll see that watch-along on Friday at noon. Oh, okay. I don't know what that magazine cover is, but it looks... There's some definite what, sensual dude? Edge there. Feathered hair. Feathered Ihar at the Tribune. Swersner.
Javier Sodnerd, dude. Javier Sodnerd.
Feathered Hearts Yardnard. Hearts Hard. They Horgas. They Hat. Nolas and Goho. The Crow is Bill Skarsgård. Stellan Skarsgård. Who's going to. Hey! Well, welcome to Dudesy After Dudesy. We hope you hang out for the next fucking whatever, 20 or half hour. It's a whole show after the show. And all sorts of weird shit's going to happen. I can tell you that much. And we're just trying to provide value. The lights here are a little bit dimmer and things.
Sensual value.
It's a sensual value, yes.
This is the sensual edge portion of our program.
Definitely got that. 1980s sensual edge. We might get into a little bit of Gainibus, speaking of muscle and fitness, and we'll see how it goes. So welcome to it.
Welcome to Dudesy After Dudesy, the flagship weekly show of Dudesy Plus, available only at patreon.com/dudesy. Does anyone think Will stands a chance of getting the belt back this week? I guess those poor misguided souls will be introduced to a healthy dose of reality in about 30 minutes. Or maybe Will can take that belt back. Stranger things have happened. Stay tuned to find out when I come back with the final tabulations. Until then, this is Dudesy After Dudesy. Get to blabbing.
I don't like the way Dudesy teed that up.
I don't know what to tell you, dude. I think he's probably right. You know I've been doing this Gateway shit, right?
What's the Gateway thing again?
Gateway is a program invented by Dr. Monroe.
Right. Not
the island of Dr.
And the
Monroe.
Little man. And the zinc sunscreen on his face.
Not that doctor.
Yeah.
But the Army and the CIA used it back in the 80s to train people how to do remote location, to essentially project out of their body and see other locations across the globe.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And so these tapes are now available to anybody who wants to buy them. I have some tapes, I say. They're recordings. And they're like guided meditations. And I mentioned last week on Dudesy After Dudesy that I saw what I thought was a Chinese gulag in a dystopian near future alternate present.
Oh, yeah. Everyone was underground with a little bit of chicken wire over top of them, standing in human-sized holes.
Yes. That's exactly what I saw. That was like my first real kind of like, oh, fuck, something's happening here. Well, this week, something happened on a different scale, I will say. I've been like very diligent about doing this.
Okay.
And this week, something bizarre happened. Do you want to know what this
is? Yeah, what the fuck happened?